Hi, I'm Jeff Davis, today's host for Wordplay, and joining me in the studio today are Laura Hope Gill, who's also now a member of the Wordplay team, and Sebastian Matthews, also now a member of the Wordplay team. Welcome, guys. So glad you're here.
And in spirit, with us as well, but she's performing in Florida with other formidable poets today. We're thrilled to be the revised
Wordplay crew, and we hope to bring you lots of wonderful poetry, discussion about poetry, and overall spirit and creativity.
Indeed.
And a little music.
Yeah. Yes, it's going to be a little bit different this coming season. And I'm looking forward to the differences myself. I know, Sebastian, you especially were interested in jazz and music and the way music interacts with poetry.
Yeah, there's a friend of mine, a poet named Peter Harris, who lives out in L.A., and he has a show, or did a show, where he would ask the poets to come on, and he wouldn't let them, besides, he'd introduce them, but he wouldn't let them read the titles of their poems, even, and he wouldn't let them talk about the poems. He just let them, they'd just read your poems, and he would play music underneath sometimes. He would play music in between. He'd play music to try to get them off their game or support mm-hmm. them, and then it's a great show, and I don't want to do that, but I loved hearing that interplay of music and voice and spoken words. Uh-huh. It'd be nice to get some of that going.
Yeah. I think that'll be fun. You're right. And Laura, what brings you to Wordplay? What's your specific interest?
Bringing poetry onto the sound waves and getting it up off the page. I think that's always been a passion of mine since I first saw performance poetry in Australia and saw how much energy poetry reading can have, as opposed to other poetry readings that I had attended, where the energy wasn't really put behind the poem to carry it across. And I think something that we have to thank the performance poetry movement for is this new version of poetry reading that we have.
Live and in person.
Absolutely.
Yeah, much more dynamic than the page. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, why don't you read a poem for us?
I would love to.
All right, good.
We are reading some of our favorite poems today. Sebastian and I have brought a collection of poets, and we will read one of our own as well. I would like to salute Galway Kinnell today. His poetry is my food currently, and because it is September, it's perfect to begin with his poem, Blackberry Eating. I love to go out in late September among the fat, overripe, icy, black blackberries to eat blackberries for breakfast. The stalks, very prickly, a penalty they earn for knowing the black art of blackberry making. And as I stand among them, lifting the stalks to my mouth, the ripest berries fall almost unbidden to my tongue, as words sometimes do, certain peculiar words like strengths or squinched or brommed, many-lettered, one-syllabled lumps, which I squeeze, squinch open, and splurge well into the silent, startled, icy black language of blackberry eating in late September.
Nice. Yeah. I've always liked Galway's work.
I read that one to my students and tell them that that's what poetry is. And they don't just take words for words, but every single letter inside the word mm-hmm. is like a little particle of those juicy blackberries.
Yeah.
And they get it.
Yeah.
You can eat that poem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read a poem in response. I've been reading a lot of Western North Carolina poets, and I'll talk a little bit about that later, but it's Jonathan Williams, and he, among other things, is an incredible, like, reporter of the weird, you know?
Indeed. Right.
And this is called Three Sayings from Highlands, North Carolina. But pretty, though, as roses is, you can put up with the thorns. Doris Tally, housewife and gardener. You live until you die, if the limb don't fall. Butler Jenkins, caretaker. Your points is blue and your timing's a week off. Sam Creswell, auto mechanic. That's it. You're a little collector of folk wisdom with a little weird twist in his mind.
A little twist.
Yeah. Your points are blue and your timing's a week off.
Well, it's telegraphic, isn't it? Just pared down so well.
Yeah, it's like his ear. It's how he listens. He catches things off billboards, what people say, and he just kind of takes them and kind of is like a curator. He just puts them down.
Mm.
Yeah.
Signs beside the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever, right? Fragments of conversation.
Yeah.
I like that. That probably came out first in what? Blues and Roots, Ruse and Bluets.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That was his kind of breakthrough volume in that regard. Yeah.
And he does a lot of concrete poetry in that book where he puts, you know, the text is laid out in such a way that it like there's one, it's I can't get the title, but it's like a chorale of bird song, you know, I heard one summer long ago, and it's just the sounds and large text of all the birds running next to each other. So the whole block, like a wallpaper of just bird song, and that's it. And just a page
beautiful.
Of that. And it's really, he's wild.
Yeah, he is indeed. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
go
in
ahead,
this
Laura.
Wonderful game of poetry round robin. Here's one that is on the back of Galway Connell's A New and Selected Poems. And Galway has a new book coming forth in October called So Strong Is Your Hold, a line from Whitman. And but for to get warmed up, we have the selected poems with us here today. And this is the poem right on the back, rather than having blurbs on the back. And I guess that's a sign of really having made it. You don't have to get blurbed. You can just put your own poems on the back of your book.
Yeah.
You don't need recommendations anymore. That silent evening. I will go back to that silent evening when we lay together and talked in silent voices. While outside, slow lumps of soft snow fell, hushing as they got near the ground, with a fire in the room in which centuries of tree went up in continuous ghost giving up, without a crackle, into morning light. Not until what hastens went slower did we sleep. When we got home, we turned and looked back at our tracks twining out of the woods, where the branches we brushed against let fall puffs of sparkling snow quickly, in silence, like stolen kisses, and where the scritch, scritch, scritch among the trees, which is the sound that dies inside the sparks from the wedge when the sledge hits its off center, telling everything inside it is fire. Jumped to a black branch, puffed up, but without arms, and so to our eyes lonesome. And yet also, how can we know this? Happy, in shape of chickadee. Lying still in snow, not iron-willed like railroad tracks, willing not to meet until heaven, but here and there, treading slubby, kissing stops, our tracks wobble across the snow their long scratch. So many things that happen here are really little more, if even that, than a scratch too. Words in our mouths are almost ready, already, to bandage the one whom the scritch, 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 meaning, if how when, we might lose each other, scratches, 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 from this moment to that. Then I will go back to that silent evening, when the past just managed to overlap the future, if only by a trace, and the light doubles and casts through the dark a sparkling that heavens the earth.
Heavens the earth. Nice.
Darn. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, he's so good. Yeah. I was just dug out his translations of Ivan Gol's Lackawanna Elegies this past week. And just, he's so comfortable in that idiom, even, I mean, surrealism. I mean, he just is plugged in.
Right.
To this world of imagery and the, you know, the way the mind works and through language and through these images that the mind creates. It's just wonderful stuff. Yeah.
And the sound of it too. I mean, the music, there was that kind of look at it's the back of the book, so I can just kind of look at it. But the sledge in the center, where was that?
Sledge and the wedge.
From the wedge when the sledge hits it off center and then telling everything. Beautiful music. And
I know. Yeah.
I think of the idea of the sound of sense by Frost, where, you know, the music of a meter or of a kind of a patterned music and the speaking voice and the logic of a speaking voice. Where they kind of come together as the sound of sense and poetry, and he's a master of it because he's speaking to you. It's kind of an inner voice that's maybe your voice or his voice. You know, it's all these things at once, and he pulls it off without sounding too solemn or too, you know.
And there are so many places when I'm reading his poetry where I would have stopped because I was afraid of what might come out of me or what might come out of the page, more like it, because the stuff that comes out of the page in his poetry is often beyond where any thought has taken me before. And I'm sure it's constantly leading him into the unknown deeper and deeper. And his courage is inspiring to me. Just let go into the poem.
Yeah, indeed. This is 103.5 FM, the Progressive Voice of the Mountains. I'm Jeff Davis. This is Wordplay, and today with me we have my fellow host, Laura Hope Gill, and Sebastian Matthews, and with us in spirit, Glynis Redmond, who's actually at a reading in Florida as we speak. So thanks again, guys, for joining the Wordplay team.
We're thrilled to be here.
Yeah.
Club.
Club, yes.
Yeah. Dorky gang.
The dorky gang, yeah, right. As you can probably tell, going forward, we're going to be doing more conversations among the host, between host and guest and so on, and actually registering some response to the poetry and prose, for that matter, too, that we're actually featuring. So should be fun.
I would like to pose a question to my co-hosts here with me.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me get my buzzer. Okay, I'm ready.
Yeah, right.
Well, we're about to hear another poem that Sebastian has brought with him. And I'm curious, if we all come from a different place to poetry, and where does a good poem take you? May I ask you that? And you can play with it completely, because it's completely a non-real question. That's so.
Where does it take me?
And it can change every day, of course. Yeah.
It puts me on the 36 bus, outward bound. No, it
there we go.
Yeah. I guess the answer that comes to me that sounds kind of cliche is just that a good poem brings me into my body, I guess. And then, you know, the first time I read it, it kind of wakes me up or puts me, you know, kind of like, hey, like you said, it almost like, you know, almost afraid of what I'm going to feel. It kind of brings me into my feelings or brings me into my body. And then I read it again, and I think it takes me away. I often read while walking or out in the, you know, go to a cafe and read, or, you know, I often read poetry on the move. And so in some ways I'm primed for that. But when a good poem hits me in a way, like the Bob Marley, you know, when you feel no pain, I go in some ways, but I have to. But I don't go until I'm kind of more present, I guess.
Beautiful answer.
Hey, there we go.
That's very nice. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, poetry for 10 points. It's my game, you know.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm good at it. I'm going to read a poem by this poet named Christine Lassiter, who is a Nashville area poet who I didn't know. I think both of you knew, that Glynis knew well as well. And I'm doing an issue with a friend right now on Southern Appalachia writers, and it's for the magazine Rivendell.
Right. I was about to ask you to tell us what issue that was.
Got to do a plug. And
appearing soon on your local newsstand.
Hi, Mom. Send money. Yeah. And yeah, sometime soon. It's been a long time. And at the center of that, we're focusing in kind of like if you imagine looking at a topographic map from on high, and you look down and just like the Appalachian region, Southern Appalachian, and then kind of coming into Western North Carolina, coming into Buncombe County, coming into Asheville. Mm-hmm. And looking at the poetry scene, I can say that I think, you know, the very varied and rich poetry scene going on here the last couple of years. And I realized talking to people that, you know, the history of this scene, there's a lot of performance poetry that in the last 10 years. And then somebody like Christine Lassiter, who she died how long ago?
Eight or seven years ago. I'm afraid. Yeah.
So I moved to town just around then. And so to include somebody like that, so I'm reading her poems for the first time and really enjoying them. And so I thought I'd read one of her poems. Okay. It's called Christine Lassiter. No, it's not. It's called Prisoner Poetry. I sit in my truck watching the rain, waiting for dusk, when I'll do poetry with teens in a treatment center. Prisoner treatment teens sent here from First Nations all over the country. Last week I brought a book by Native American poets called Returning the Gift. They picked Simpson's poem, Sweating It Out, set it to drums, and chanted the verse. As they chanted the last line, we learned to sit in our earth and love it. Truth whispered through the room like dawn. Others, like Smith's book, Close to Death, they chose a poem called The Undertaker. One played the reluctant mortician, the others gangbangers, I the grieving mother. As I pleaded with the 14-year-old undertaker, saying, fix my boy, tears filled my eyes. With sudden fierce mother love, I wanted to save all of them, to kiss the bedtime cheeks of the savage punks who suck their thumbs when no one is looking. I get out of my truck, and they are waiting inside. In my hands, the poems feel so small. Matt's written a poem about the boots with an attitude, a hacky-sacking attitude of love. The others laugh like kids at Saturday cartoons, and his eyes shine with surprise. Robbie's poem is about wild dogs, and you're running like hell, and you fall, and instead of ripping you apart, they lick your hand. Robbie plays the drum, which is the sacred heart, which builds to pounding terror, breaks, then with solemn awe starts again. Leela's been writing and writing and writing, poetry her new addiction, Pope heroin down in his pews, bloody knuckles of shame. Please, I pray, let this be her last addiction. Robbie drums again as Luke chants to a dead friend who overdosed in a wheelchair at 14, paralyzed by a bullet the year before. His song has no words, only grief, hands moving graceful flurries, voice high and straining and strong. After the song, he holds his throat, wounded by the sounds of his own strange pain. I rise to leave, pick up my poems, make promises for next week. Yes, I'll type your poem. Yes, I'll bring the book again. Yes, yes, yes. I'll lavish love in all the little ways I can, but it will be the words of your heart, like glowing stones in the sweat lodge, the words of your heart that will lead you through pain to somewhere, and like the cool night air, when you leave the dark inferno, something good will be there.
It's a perfect Christine poem because she gave her life to teens in crisis. And you would see her truck, which she actually lived for a time. You'd see it around town, and it was always in front of the hotspots, educational hotspots for kids. Hmm. And
just a beautiful, sympathetic, empathetic kind of poem of just feeling them and letting them. My favorite part of it is, besides just the music of it, is just how much she lets them express themselves, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then expresses them again in the poem.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
And when you moved here, I've never seen the arts community of Asheville. That's the wrong way to begin the sentence. I was so impressed by the arts community of Asheville when Christine was sick. She came down with, stricken with terrible brain cancer and did not have health insurance, which is the case for many teachers and artists.
And poets, yeah.
Yeah.
And the arts community, we had singer-songwriters, we had poets doing performances to help pay the medical bills over and over again at the Grey Eagle. And every time one of those was arranged, everybody with a guitar came out. Everybody with a poem came out. It was that amazing currency of the gift.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything that she had given, the community saw and tried to give back, but we couldn't save her.
Right. Yeah, I remember the benefits. Right.
Amazing.
Yeah. I didn't know her well. I actually knew her because I worked on her computer at some point way back when, back when I had my computer business. And she came in one day with this, hard drive problem or something. I don't remember now exactly what it was. I'd have to go back and look up the records, the service records.
Right.
But but thereafter, she let me know she was a poet, and we talked, and I enjoyed her work. She was good.
Yeah. Seeing her perform at the Poetry Slams at the Green Door, she made poetry a ballet. She had this long, beautiful, flowing hair, and
kind of reddish blonde.
Yes,
as I recall.
She would use her arms to read the poem. It was a beautiful, beautiful sight to see.
Mm-hmm. It's fun to come across her work now. Sorry.
Yeah,
it's great. We will do a tribute to her a lot with this.
Good,
indeed, indeed.
Wonderful. I think, Laura, you should read your poem.
Okay.
Yeah, do.
Wonderful. This is my poem called Ghost Walk. We have a blog for Wordplay, and
indeed,
it is wordplayradio.blogspot.com.
That's
is
right.
Is it a dot or a stat?
HTTP wordplayradio.blogspot.com.
Okay. Right. Dot. Right. Okay, and this is on there, and all four of us will be contributing and writing, so please join us in our celebration of poetry by visiting our blog
and leave comments
and read our and make comments.
Yes.
Absolutely. And
nice,
tell us
nice
what poems
comments,
you'd like to hear. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Be nice.
Yeah.
Ghost walk. The feet must move beneath the earth and slow. This trust of space will widen soon. Fold your hands inward to the heart, this bird, this rock, inhabiting an edge for longing, and this is how you move. This earth below you, moving up inside you as you go. Now, toward this earth below shall hold you, all your weight, your heart's core, its core, the beat of grief, the hard, dark beat of hope. You must walk as though you are not moving, for only things discover themselves, illumine. No call, no breath, these cannot lift you from your step. Only what you know moves you. These words close at hand, these words on your tongue,